Well, brethren, each year I try to speak on a subject of one of the fundamental beliefs. And, of course, it's been a couple years now since I didn't do much speaking a year ago. Mr. Franks has placed emphasis on our fundamental beliefs to the members and the ministry alike. Of course, he teaches the subject at Foundation Institute. And also, we did have the fundamental beliefs on FI Online as one of the FI Online classes that we had. There are 20 different beliefs. Subject I'd like to speak on today is a very important one for us, as they all are, but a very important one for us, and that is the subject of the Sabbath. The subject of the Sabbath. Back in 1995, it was kind of amazing for me and for us to see how quickly people abandoned Sabbath keeping. So it's important for us to stay grounded in this fundamental subject of Sabbath and Sabbath keeping. Our summary statement on the Sabbath, if you look on kagwa.org, not the members' website, but I think it might be on the members' website as well, I didn't specifically look, that has a summary of our 20 fundamental beliefs. You might look at those from time to time and read through those, just because we need to, again, be well grounded in fundamentally what we teach and what we believe. As we heard in the special music, it's the voice of truth, really, that the Bible is. But that fundamental belief summary statement reads as follows. It says, one of the fundamental beliefs is the seventh-day Sabbath. The seventh day of the week is the Sabbath of the Lord our God, and on this day humans are commanded to rest from their labors and worship Him. Established and blessed by God at creation, the seventh day of the week begins at sunset on Friday and continues until sunset on Saturday. The Sabbath is an identifying sign and a perpetual covenant between God and His people. True Christians follow the example of Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the New Testament church in observing the seventh day Sabbath. So that is our summary statement, and then there are a series of scriptures, some of which we'll cover today, but we'll cover many of those points in the message today. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll begin on this particular subject at the beginning of the book. Genesis, of course, means beginnings. So Genesis chapter 1 in verse 5, we'll read a couple of verses here to kind of bring this into focus. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "And God called the day, the light day, and the darkness night. So the evening and morning were the first day." So here we see day one. If we drop down to verse 8, we'll see God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. So here we see day two. Day three we see in verse 13. Verse 13 says, so, and then, you know, we could read through the verses. It's not my purpose to talk about what was created on each of these days, only to show us that there were days. Verse 13 says, so the evening and morning were the third day. Verse 19 says, so the evening and morning were the fourth day. So we've seen 1, 2, 3, 4 days now. Verse 23, so the evening and morning were the fifth day. So we've seen 5 days. Verse 31 And so God saw that everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, this is kind of interesting when you think about it. So here we see we commonly call the creation week, where God created all of these things. We can read through and look at each day and see what God created on each day. But we see the establishment of a day. It's the morning, or the evening and the morning, as we read in various verses there. The evening and the morning were the days. The 24-hour period consists of an evening through the night, morning through the day. You know, as we read there in verse 13, that was day two. So we see that God created the day, and that it starts in the evening at sunset. And it ends at sunset in the evening. So God created a day. For Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, then we see that he rested from his work. It says, and thus the heavens, verse 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. See that God rested on the seventh day. It's interesting, I think, sometimes as we look at all these days, day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. After all these years, you know, we still have a 7-day week, don't we? We still have this 7-day week that God created at creation. And it's recognized on all of our calendars. You know, Sunday rather, begins on Sunday and ends on Saturday, or as we would call it, the Sabbath day. So God created, God rested from his work, and God, it says in verse 3, very important to us to understand and to recognize. Verse 3 says that God blessed the seventh day. Now, I'm not obviously telling any of us here anything that we don't know, but it's good for us to review these things, have them really become a part of us and understand these things more fully and more deeply. The seventh, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So God set this day aside. We see that God, on the seventh day, he created something very special. He created the seventh day, the Sabbath day, that this special day that God created. So here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1 through 3, we see the origin of the Sabbath day. So as we look at and think about the Sabbath, we see the origin of it here in Genesis. Question I might ask, how important is this day to us? And you might, you know, as we sometimes say, put your name there in the us. How important is the Sabbath day to you and to me? Is it important to us? We'll talk a little bit about that as we go through the message. You know, it doesn't start at midnight like man counts time. You know, we counted from 12 a.m. to 11:59 p.m., or might we say 12 a.m. You know, man counts time, and that the day starts at midnight. God has a day and starts when at the sunset. How important is it to us? Do we give it proper priority, honor, and reverence, and respect? that it deserves. Do we give it all that it deserves, or is it often just another day that we don't do our normal work and we go to church? You know, it can be that. It can be just somewhat of a normal day, or just another day that we, you know, it's our Sunday on Saturday, so to speak. Sometimes we can get into that mode or into that thinking that it's, well, you know, we get up and we do the normal kind of the normal things we do, or do a lot of them, but we don't go to work that day, and we go to church. But other than that, is it a special day that we set aside and that we have a priority to honor and reverence and respect God and worship Him like we should on that day? The Sabbath is very important to God. It's a very important day. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 4. This message is not really going to be is not really about a list of do's and don'ts, but we will look at some principles, some things that God tells us to think about on the Sabbath day and to think of, and to focus on. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 4. It's a very important day to God. It says, "And for He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works." From all His works. So, no, we don't get up and go to work. We don't do that. But we do other things. We don't do other things as well. We don't get up and, you know, have a lawnmower going or vacuum the house or do some of those kind of things either. So God, it says He rested on the seventh day. The word here means is the Greek word katapauo, and it literally means He rested, causing to cease, as it says in Vines, or putting to rest. God rested on the seventh day. Reading on in chapter 4, verse 5 says, "And again in this place, they shall not enter My rest, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience." It's making the point, you know, there is a future rest for Christians that can have with God. There is a future rest for that. But verse 8 again says, "For if Joshua had given them rest," that word again there is that same Greek word, rest, physical rest, "then he would not afterward have spoken of another day." Then verse 9 is a very important verse for us to understand in the New Testament. Verse 9 says, "There remains therefore a rest." Now that word rest there is a different word than the katapauo or katapauo. The word here is the word sabbatismos. Sabbatismos. And it means, according to Vine's dictionary and other dictionaries and commentaries, there remains a keeping of the Sabbath, or a Sabbath keeping. There remains a keeping of the Sabbath, or a Sabbath keeping. That's what that verse there in verse 9 means. There remains a keeping of the Sabbath, or a Sabbath keeping for the people of God. The Good News Bible says, as it is, however, there still remains for God's people a rest, like God's resting on the seventh day. So there remains a keeping of the Sabbath. Sometimes, you know, there's a controversy about these scriptures and the fact that there's a future rest coming for the people of God, and indeed there is. But there remains, as it says in verse 9, that's a different Greek word there. There remains a keeping of the Sabbath for the people of God. Now, the question for us is, how do we keep it? How do we keep it? That's the question that we can ask ourselves. And as we go through the message today, we'll talk about some of those things and provide some principles. For the remainder of the time here, we'll consider and review some principles of Sabbath keeping. And we'll establish the fact that the Sabbath is to be kept. We've established already the origin of the Sabbath, that it originated with God resting after the creation week, and that he showed us that example. We've seen in Hebrews that there remains a keeping of it, of the Sabbath. And we describe ourselves as Sabbath keepers. Don't we? Oftentimes we describe ourselves as Sabbath keepers. So it's not a list of do's and don'ts. But we'll look, first of all, at four basic things. Number one, Exodus chapter 20. The book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8 through 11. We can establish that, of course, that the Sabbath is commanded. Sabbath is commanded. So Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, we could go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, but we'll go to Exodus chapter 20. And verse 8 says this, it says, Remember. Now we're going to talk about that particular phrase a little bit later in the message. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3 said, and I'll go there real quickly, you don't need to, but Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3 said that the seventh day was blessed and sanctified, set apart from the other days. We saw we had 6 days, but the seventh day was blessed, set aside, set apart as holy. Here in verse 8 of Exodus 20, we see that it is to keep it holy. We're to set it apart as well from the other days. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You shall do no work. So the command tells us not to work on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. So we're not to do any work. It's interesting, in Leviticus chapter 23, and we'll turn there in a little bit, it says no customary work, no occupational work, no customary work. And it also states here that no one in your household says is to do, you know, that no one that is under your authority is to do work. That's why when we have businesses, sometimes can be difficult if you have restaurants or certain things that people own. We don't open those businesses on the Sabbath, because that would be people in your authority working on the Sabbath. Now, again, it doesn't mean that we can't go out to eat on the Sabbath. That's a different matter. But we don't open our businesses on the Sabbath, because it specifically states here that, you know, your manservant, your maidservant, we don't schedule people to work in our businesses on those days. Verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he hallowed it." So he blessed it. He blesses this day as his Sabbath, and he hallowed it, or he set it aside for this special purpose. So we're commanded not to work on the Sabbath day. So that's point number one. Point number two, we'll turn to Exodus chapter 31. Back a few chapters to Exodus chapter 31. In verse 15, Exodus chapter 31, if you go up to verse 12, and in my Bible, like my New King James Version, there's a little subtitle there that says, "The Sabbath Law." And many Bibles probably have that in it. The Sabbath Law. Verse 12, we'll start in verse 12. "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. Verse 13, For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord God who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For in 6 days, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest." We already read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 4 through 9 that it's a day of rest. And that's the point here. Second point is that the Sabbath is a day of rest. So we saw point number one, God tells us not to work. Point number two, four basic things that we want to recognize as we get into the message here, is that point number two is the Sabbath is a day of rest. It's a day of rest. So it says, "Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death." So we slow it down, don't we? We slow it down today. We don't work. We slow it down. We rest. You know, we don't, there are other things we don't do, obviously. We don't go to the gym and work out. Or we don't go to the mall and shop. Or, you know, as we've already noted, we don't, and again, a variety of things that, you know, you can fill in the blanks there that we don't do on the Sabbath day. That it's a blessed, a day that God blessed and set aside for us as special and unique. So there are a number of things that we don't do. We rest with an eye toward worshiping God. Point number three, Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23. So we don't work. We rest. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 1 through 3. This is a chapter that we often read in relationship to the feasts. They're all listed here in Leviticus chapter 23. And as Mr. Franks has told us before, you can search the rest of your Bible and not find where God ever changed this in Leviticus chapter 23. For the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord." Now we've again highlighted that on numerous occasions, that these are God's feasts, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts. So these are God's feasts. The first feast that is recorded here is the Sabbath. It says 6 days shall work be done. So again, we've gone through that 6 days now, talked about that several times, and it keeps showing up, doesn't it? 6 days you do your work. The seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. So here again we see rest, and we have an addition here, don't we? We don't work, we rest, and a holy convocation. It's point number three. It is a day of holy convocation. You shall do no work in it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So this is an area that we need to consider. You know, there are certainly reasons we can't sometimes. Some people are elderly, there are illnesses. We're always encouraged that if we have children or we ourselves are not feeling real well, don't come to services and get everybody else sick. So there certainly are reasons. Sometimes we get snowed out or there are weather conditions that cause us to cancel services. But it is a part of the Sabbath command, isn't it? It is a part of the Sabbath command. No work, rest, and a holy convocation. No work, rest, a holy convocation. It means, that word convocation means, you know, a public worship service or a public meeting. And so it's part of the Sabbath command. So when we talk about, you know, how do we keep the Sabbath, we don't work, we rest, we have a holy convocation. Point number four, we'll find in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. The Sabbath, as we can well see, and again, I'm not, I always, you know, think I'm, of course, preaching to the choir, so to speak. I'm not telling us anything that we don't know. I just encourage us to think about these things and have our mind thinking about it and dwelling on it in different ways at different times. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 through 25. Verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." So God wants us to hold fast to this, that we hold fast to what we understand and know, to the voice of truth that we know and understand, that we don't just get blown around by every wind of doctrine. Because if we stop our Sabbath keeping, if we stop doing those first three points, we begin, you know, it's amazing how quickly people begin to work and not rest on the Sabbath day and not treat it as a special day. And we stop getting together in our public meetings, chances are pretty great that we'll stop getting together and doing some of the other things that are problematic to do on the Sabbath as well. Verse 24 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." We do that oftentimes when we get together on the Sabbath day. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together," as we read earlier, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So the fourth point here is we learn from one another as well as from the messages. We learn from one another and as well as from the messages. You know, from Dr. Guy's sermonette today and hopefully from the sermon today. You know, again, it says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It is a holy convocation. So we learn on the Sabbath day. So we keep the Sabbath day by not working, by resting, by assembling, and by learning. Those are four fundamental and basic things that we do to keep God's Sabbath day, the day that He blessed, to keep it holy, to set it aside, to sanctify it. So let's consider some additional principles now. So we have those four basic points. We're commanded to do it, of course. We could have had 5, 6, 7 points there. We're commanded to do it in Exodus chapter 20. And we're commanded to keep the Sabbath day. And we certainly are commanded not to work in all those things that we talked about. So let's consider some other principles. We're to prepare. We're to prepare for the Sabbath day. God gave us some additional principles that we'll look at. So one of them is that we're to prepare. We're commanded not to just to observe or keep the Sabbath, but what did God say there in the Ten Commandments? He said, remember. Remember. You know, we should be mindful of the Sabbath day, and we are. I should rephrase that and say, we are mindful of the Sabbath day throughout the week, aren't we? We're mindful of the Sabbath, you know, throughout the week, and look forward to it, so we can be prepared for it, because there is a principle of preparation. You know, in our culture, we can sometimes crash into the day. You ever crash into the Sabbath day? It's kind of like, okay, sunset is 8:52. And I've got to do this. I've got to mow the lawn. And I've got to vacuum. And I've got to... And you fill in the blanks. And 8:52 comes and we've finished up at 8:48. And we're kind of crashing into the day. And we can. Sometimes that can happen. But there is a principle of preparation. Exodus chapter 16. Back to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 16. We'll see that God has a principle here for us to be thinking about and preparing for the Sabbath day. Exodus chapter 16, and it's something that we can do all week long. Now, you know, we can do things like make sure our clothes are pressed and cleaned, perhaps. Probably be a good idea. Sometimes things come up and we have to do it on a Sabbath day, but it's something that we can, the principle is that we can, it is something that we can prepare ahead of time, or, you know, polish our shoes, or a variety of things that we can do in advance of the Sabbath day to prepare for it. It's interesting here, we see this exercise in Exodus chapter 16. We'll read begin reading in verse 4. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses," so God had this conversation with Moses, "and he said, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." That's, I always think that's an interesting little phraseology. "I'll rain this." And we think of raindrops falling down. "I will rain bread from heaven for you, And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day. So God gave specific instruction here. That I may test them. So this is going to be, we gave a message on being tested by God here a month or so ago. God said that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. So God tests us sometimes. He tests us, doesn't he? We get tested. We talked about that again in a message a month or so ago. That God tests us. He said, I will test them whether they will walk in my law or not. Does God test us to see whether or not we will appropriately keep his Sabbath day or not? Sure he does. Verse 5 says, and it shall be on the sixth day. Remember the Sabbath day. It says, on the sixth day, that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So, we have to remember the Sabbath day, don't we? There is a principle here of preparation for the Sabbath day. If we drop down to verse 19, it says, and Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. So they weren't to leave any of this bread that rained from heaven until morning. Verse 20 says, notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses. So God tested them, and they didn't heed. They failed the test. Because it says that some of it was left, or that some of them left part of it till morning and ate the bread, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So God meant what he said. He said, eat, gather what you need today. Eat it. Don't leave any till morning, because it's going to stink up the place. And sure enough, it did. Let's drop down to verse 22. We'll read verses 22 through 27. It says, and so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And the Lord said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest. I don't want you, the principle is, I don't want you to go out and gather. I want you to have it ready so that you can prepare it and eat it on the Sabbath day, but I don't want you to go out and gather it. So it says, this is what the Lord has said, tomorrow is the Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. And so they laid it up until morning, and as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people, of course, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. So God wants us, the principle, of course, is a principle of preparation, that we prepare, we remember the Sabbath day. You know, when Wednesday comes, we remember the Sabbath day. Thursday comes, maybe that would be a good day to mow the grass. I'm just saying that because that's the day I like to mow the grass. But you can mow the grass whatever day you want to, except this afternoon. Wouldn't recommend that. Would in fact say that God said, don't. Not on the Sabbath day. But, we remember that so that we're prepared for God's Sabbath day. Exodus chapter 12. It doesn't mean that we can't do some light cooking or, you know, make some eggs for breakfast or, you know, some bacon. We have that Freshmark plant right down below us, and if the wind is not blowing from the west, and if it's a still morning, I walk outside, I feel like I'm eating bacon sometimes because the aroma is just real heavy. Doesn't mean we can't, but you know, if you're making muffins, you might want to bake those on preparation day so that you have the muffins to eat on the Sabbath. Certain things like that that we can do to prepare for the Sabbath. But you can't really, you know, fry an egg. You can, but you know, you can some of those things you can warm up, cook on the Sabbath. That's appropriate, but I think you get the principle of it. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 16 says, on the first day there shall be a holy convocation. On the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. No manner of work shall be done, but that which everyone must eat. So there is a principle here that no manner of work shall be done, but what you can eat. You can certainly, you know, you might want to, you know, make your chili, but you can certainly heat it up and warm things in an appropriate manner, make and do those things, you know, because it says no. Again, I'm looking at, this is specifically talking about the holy days, but I'm looking at a principle here. The principle is that no manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, only that may be prepared for you. So there is a principle here of preparation and certain things, you know, that we do. So, you know, we need to learn to remember the Sabbath day, and part of remembering the Sabbath day is preparing for it. It's preparing so that we're prepared, so that, you know, we put gas in the car. We try to remember that, don't we? There have been times I haven't. I get in the car and I didn't put gas in it. And I have to put a little in it. My personal practice and habit is that if I have to put gas in it on the Sabbath, and it happens on occasion, I try to only put in the amount that I'm going to use, just enough to get here or get home or whatever the case may be. But I try to remember the Sabbath day and prepare for it and put gas in it before the Sabbath comes. And, you know, again, cleaning of, you know, doing your laundry and those kind of things, cleaning your clothes as much as possible. Limit the things that we have to do on a Sabbath day so that it's a day of rest. And that's the principle we're learning here. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 30. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 30 says, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. Reverence, respect God's holy time and holy things. So he says, you're to keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. This is God's holy convocation right here, today. We do this, you know, as nicely as we can practically do it. We have flowers sitting up here. We set things up appropriately and properly to honor God. We are in His sanctuary, in the place where God has placed His name today for this holy convocation, for this worship service. We come here with respect, don't we? We come here with respect, you know, dressed as best that we can, dressed in our appropriately, dressed in the best that we can. You know, and what's appropriate as we come before God. Verse 30 here says of Leviticus chapter 19, says, you shall keep my Sabbaths. And again, we've already read that, as it says in verse 30, with reverence, with respect. the fact that God has placed his name here. So God has given us this holy convocation. So those are some principles with regard to Sabbath preparation and being ready for God's Sabbath and remembering. God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that doesn't just mean at sunset on Friday night, but that has to do with preparation as well. Let's look at some additional principles that we can look at in Isaiah chapter 58. So when we have activities and things, you know, we can ask ourselves, and again, I'm not talking here about a list of do's and don'ts. We're talking about a list of principles. Some of those decisions, you know, you might have to make. I always, you know, have always thought that the Sabbath, the commandment of the Sabbath day is pretty cut and dry, pretty black and white. How we keep the Sabbath, there are principles that God shows us that are pretty plain as well. So how we keep the Sabbath, if we have activities and do things, you know, we can ask ourselves, you know, is that appropriate to do? Is that something God would have us do? Would he be pleased by that? If I did this thing on the Sabbath day, Isaiah chapter 58, we can see some additional principles and a number of points here in a couple of short verses, verse 13, Isaiah 58, verse 13. We'll read verse 13 and 14, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it a little bit. It says, if you turn away your foot from my Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on high, on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's come back and revisit and go through some of those things and talk about them just a little bit, because there's a lot in those couple of verses with regard to Sabbath keeping and with regard to some principles on keeping the Sabbath. So what can we learn? It's a list. It's not a list of do's and don'ts again, but it's a list of principles. It says, if you turn your foot from the Sabbath, turn away your foot. You know, don't trample on God's Sabbath day. It's basically what it's telling us. Don't trample on it. Don't just let it be another day. Take it, you know, don't take it lightly. You know, again, it's not about just not working. We can take any one of those principles. Well, we don't work. I didn't go to work. Just not going to work is not keeping the Sabbath. It's not keeping the Sabbath. So God said, don't trample on it. Don't step all over it. Don't let it be just another day. Number two, doing your own pleasure. Doing your own pleasure. Now, again, this is a principle. It doesn't have to be, you know, we don't have to sit in a chair all day, but we don't want to do our own thing, do we? Don't, you know, just do what we please or as we please. That's not what the Sabbath is about, not just do what we please or as we please, just do what we want. So we, again, just can make it, and these principles oftentimes come down to, is it like any other day with the exception of the fact that we don't go to work and we go to church? But this afternoon, do we go home and do our own pleasure? Just do what we want to do. And again, do those things that sometimes may not be appropriate. Number three, here as it talks about, is to keep, is call the Sabbath a delight. You know, do we really recognize the wonderful opportunity that we have to observe God's holy Sabbath day. Do we really recognize that as the wonderful and pleasurable opportunity that it is, and call the Sabbath a delight? Call the Sabbath a delight. Number four is the holy day of the Lord. The holy day of the Lord. Honorable, and shall honor him. So the Sabbath is a day that we honor him, that we glorify him, but we don't do our own things. Because that's what the next point says, not doing your own ways. So it is not just another day. I emphasize that again and again because the principles that we read emphasize that again and again, that we don't do our own thing. So that's number five. Number six, nor finding your own pleasure. Again, that's mentioned in there, mentioned twice, that it is not doing, as it said earlier, your pleasure on my holy day, or finding your own pleasure. You know, so we don't go fishing and go to games and do the variety of things, you know, go to the movies, do a variety of things that we would do on a normal day. We don't do those things because it says we don't do our own pleasure. We don't just go out and have a good time. That doesn't mean we can't enjoy ourselves, because we are to call the Sabbath a delight. It is a delightful day, and we do delightful things, but we don't do our own thing. Nor speaking, as it says, number seven, your own words. So even our words, you know, the things we talk about and discuss here at Sabbath services should be different. Shouldn't be, you know, and obviously isn't. It's not the discussion, you know, I had yesterday at the office or the shop. You know, it's totally different because I'm here, I'm with you, God's very people. And we talk about those kind of things and not the things that, you know, we would normally discuss in depth. Again, we talk about certain things, and that has to be, that's all in balance as well. But we're not to speak our own words. And God then promises in verse 14 to bless us when we keep his Sabbath day. It says, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So God promises to bless us when we keep his Sabbath appropriately. So brethren, God is watching us, isn't he? He's watching, he's testing, and every week, and seven times annually, we have this test. He tests us. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7 talks about the fact that judgment is now on the household of God. Let's turn back to Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. We read this earlier. We'll read it again as we conclude the message today. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. And I'm in Leviticus, so that doesn't quite work. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4 says, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. God is testing us, isn't he? God tests us. God does test us, doesn't he? And God is watching. And God tests us. Verse 30 of chapter 16, verse 30 says, so the people rested the seventh day. And so do we, brother. We rest on the seventh day, don't we? We know that there remains a keeping of the Sabbath. Let's take time to evaluate our Sabbath keeping. Let's take time to evaluate that. It is a very fundamental belief for us. It's a distinguishing belief. It separates us from many. It's a distinguishing belief that we keep and observe God's Sabbath day, that we keep it holy. So let's take time to evaluate. You know, we keep God's Sabbath holy. We prepare for it. We reverence His sanctuary. We honor our great God by properly keeping His Sabbath and calling His Sabbath a delight.